This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. 12 Tampa Bay locations. Find your location at originalhooters.com. Remember, Hooters is the original wing joint since 1983. And go boneless. 10 boneless wings shaken in one of Hooters' signature sauces with a side of fries for only $9.99. All day, every day. I thank Hooters for being the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is also teed up at the Eagles Golf Club. The Eagles Golf Club will be hosting the 12th event on the Todd Wright Tour. It is coming up in less than 2 weeks, limited availability. And I'm selling a lot of tee times for this event. I could just call it a sellout, but I'm keeping it open for a few more days. If you would like to play in one of my golf tournaments and you want to play in the second event that we have done at the Eagles Golf Club with the help of their wonderful staff, semi-private, 36-hole property, gated community, golf course is always in good shape. We have played a previous event on the Lakes course. This event, my format will be using the Forest course, considered by many the better of the two. Both very good. Both I've played very often. People at the Eagles Golf Club are going to support me very well with hosting this event. The Eagles Golf Club is located just a little north and west of Tampa Bay Downs Golf, where my friends John Johnson, Joey DePompo, Matt Mitchell all work. And again, limited availability for Todd Wright Tour XII, our football-themed golf tournament on October 22nd. Two meals, tons of prizes, unique format, three different divisions for your team to ultimately win first place, including a women's only division, a men or mixed, and then one where I combine your golf scores with how well you pick NFL games that afternoon. For more information, go to joebucksfan.com/golf or just email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. The Eagles Golf Club hosts so many outings year-round, and I am very happy they are hosting my next outing, Todd Wright Tour XII. Limited tee times, limited time for you to sign up if you want to play as a single, twosome, threesome, or foursome. All right, let's get right to it. I am recording this. Let me give my fantasy football email as well. For those of you that want to ask me unique questions as it relates to your rosters, your bye week situations, should I add, should I drop, should I bench, all those things. What do you think of this trade? In daily, what do you think of him as a daily type PPR player? All of those questions are fair game. I have responded to every email from every person all season long. I'm not going to miss. Let's keep it up. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. All right, let's go team by team. I am recording this podcast right about the end of the first quarter of Texans and Chiefs. All right, I want to go out, meet a friend who is also a fantasy football player in my league. I have a player in this game. He has a player in this game. We want to watch the second half. It's fun for us. And so that's why I'm recording this podcast prior to the completion or the bulk of play of Texans and Chiefs and in advance of the Monday night game. So let me just give a quick thought on just about every team in the NFL. And again, I'm just going to talk about something I think is significant. If you have a unique question and I haven't touched on a player you want to ask me about, that's when you use my email, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. In no particular order, New England off the Thursday night game. Chris Hogan just seems more the fantasy guy in the passing game than Brandon Cooks. Don't argue with the results. 11 more targets on Thursday night. Another touchdown. Just seems like maybe he is drawing a better matchup. Maybe he and Brady are just on a better page. Hogan is the guy in the passing game. Miami in their game against Tennessee. Ajayi did get a lot of touches, decent rushing yardage, but remained scoreless for the entire season. For those of you who drafted him in the first round of your fantasy football drafts, you've been very disappointed through 5 weeks. New York Jets. We said a few weeks ago, Kearse might be the best garbage time wide receiver in fantasy football this year. And I don't know if it's garbage time, because the Jets are actually playing competitive games and staying relevant. He leads them in receiving yards, 220. He has three touchdowns, and they get the Patriots defense next. So Kearse suddenly is on the radar as a plug-and-play option if you're hurting on a bye week or as a daily play. Buffalo, sad to see Charles Clay go down. Didn't look good. Without Charles Clay, I'm just not sure what the Bills do in terms of who catches the ball. Maybe then finally Zay Jones starts doing something with his targets. Another candidate we had for best garbage wide fantasy garbage wide receiver of the year back in August. In an otherwise horrendous game for Pittsburgh. You thought the loss at Chicago was bad? What about at home to the Jaguars? But Antonio Brown still had 19 targets. So while Le'Veon Bell is still not producing at the level you drafted him, and Ben Roethlisberger is having a down year, and Martavis Bryant almost now looks like he's not worth the roster spot, Brown with the 19 targets continues to justify almost his ADP, probably a little below it because you probably drafted him third or fourth overall. Isaiah Crowell, another thud in an obvious bounce-back position. Duke Johnson did more. Crowell did have 60 yards rushing on 16 carries, but it's just nothing to get excited about. Joe Mixon, another game. It was okay, but he's clearly getting the touches in Cincinnati. 19 touches per game the last 3 weeks, so there's consistency there, and this was a little bit better over the weekend. For Baltimore, I've been telling all of you not to get excited about Alex Collins, how he was like a mop-up baseball reliever. The Ravens in a winnable game didn't really use Collins that much to illustrate what I had been saying. For the Jaguars, those of you that went ahead and grabbed the rookie running back in season-long drafts, man, you've been riding a very productive horse through these first five games, a touchdown each week, a monster game against the Seahawks. Indianapolis, speaking of running backs, some of you threw a dart late round of your season-long drafts. If you didn't dump Marlon Mack, rookie out of USF, he paid off. You probably didn't play him, but at least now he's justifying his roster spot and that you drafted him. 9 carries, 91 yards, and a touchdown. He'd been battling a shoulder injury for the first month of the season. Marlon Mack suddenly is fantasy relevant. For those of you that were asking me about DeMarco Murray, and I said, don't panic. If anything, wait for a good game and sell high on Murray. Murray, 14 carries, 58 yards. Did have a fumble that hurt your scoring. The Dolphins were going to be all over whoever was going to run the ball for the Titans in this game with Matt Cassel as quarterback. I know Murray isn't producing what you want, but you're not at the point yet where you're cutting DeMarco Murray. You're just not there yet. And you can't read a lot into this mismatch with no Mariota. We'll skip over Houston and Kansas City. Because as I record this podcast, their games are in progress. Denver had a bye. The San Diego / LA Clippers / Chargers. Melvin Gordon. There it is. 20 for 105. 8 targets for 58. 2 receiving touchdowns. Squeaky wheel. Got the grease. If you own Melvin Gordon and didn't play him, I know you're disappointed. But now you kind of know, yeah, I do have something with him. Now, if you just want to move forward and sell high off that week, especially if some week 6 owner is losing key running backs like Zeke and McCoy for the upcoming bye week, then go ahead and sell high on Melvin Gordon. Chargers are a bad team. Gordon's knee could flare up again. If you want to just cut your losses, you could sell high on Gordon off that performance. Marshawn Lynch, what were we going to see from him today? Did they lean on him? They couldn't. I'm not surprised. He doesn't have it. 12 carries, 43 yards, did have a rushing touchdown, kind of saves his fantasy day, but Lynch was just not a player worth his ADP. For those of you that are sort of stuck with him at this point, I really don't know what to tell you. If he wasn't going to come through today with E.J. Manuel at quarterback, I don't really know when he's going to produce high-volume, productive games. Move over to the NFC. Philadelphia, you knew Patrick Peterson was going to cancel out Alshon Jeffrey, so the Eagles went everywhere else. Now, there was no Wendell Smallwood. It's not like Blunt had a big game. Torrey Smith actually played well. Nelson Aguilar had a good game. But again, Zach Ertz, every week, he's one of the top three tight ends in targets. Production just keeps doing it. Wentz and Ertz have a good thing going. Washington, a bye. Dallas, Dak Prescott, if you went ahead and drafted him to be your starting quarterback, Dak is really taking charge of the Dallas offense, probably even more so than Ezekiel Elliott. Four touchdowns in this one. Not enough for Dallas to win, but from a fantasy standpoint, Dak is extremely productive this year. Giants, we'd been talking about Wayne Gallman. Again, Gallman looks the part. Looks like he's a legitimate running back, which the Giants haven't had in a while. He had 82 total yards in the game against the Chargers, and I saw somewhere online someone else made this point as I was doing some research. With so many Giants wide receivers going down, now Gallman might have more value going into just next week because the Giants might need to modify their game plan just because they don't have people to catch passes. Lions, another disappointment here. Matt Stafford owners are disappointed. That hurts Golden Tate. And for those of you that were hoping for three straight weeks from Ameer Abdullah, as the old man said in one of the Grumpy Old Men movies, you can wish in one hand and crap in the other and see which gets filled first. And that's all I have to say about Abdullah. Minnesota and Chicago on Monday night. What does Trubisky mean for Chicago's fantasy numbers? I think it just opens up the offense a little bit. I mean, other than that, we really don't know. But it at least puts some Bears in play as bargain plays in DFS and might take away a little bit of the defensive attention on Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen that they've been receiving. From a Minnesota standpoint, if you have Diggs, you play him. If you have Thielen, you play him. And, of course, we see what kind of timeshare there is with Murray and McKinnon, with Dalvin Cook out for the year, and if Kyle Rudolph is going to start getting those red zone targets. Green Bay, for those of you that jumped on Aaron Jones, especially Ty Montgomery owners who learned, I mean, I became convinced on Saturday that Montgomery wasn't going to play. Aaron Jones, he's more of a running back than Ty Montgomery. So follow this along. Aaron Jones is not going to, I don't think the Green Bay just can automatically put Montgomery back there. So Jones is someone who may have some value going forward, even if Montgomery is healthy enough to play. Dare I wonder if Montgomery can go back to being more of a wide receiver, or if they just split time and use Montgomery primarily as a pass-catching back and use Jones more as a pure running back. Jones, 19 for 125 and a touch. Carolina, another good week for Devin Funchess. How are the Panthers 4-1? Devin Funchess, 8 targets, 3 straight games, leads the Panthers in red zone targets. Even though Benjamin had a better game, Funchess had another good game. From the Thursday night game with Tampa Bay, Clearly, Doug Martin getting an opportunity to win his job back. Did have a bad effort on a pass from Jameis Winston. That seemed to be the story of the night for the Bucs. Missed opportunities in the passing game, but in the running game, it was productive. Also, for those of you that have been holding on to Cameron Brate, he paid off again. And I don't know why the Bucs ran the last play of the game for O.J. Howard. Howard looked as surprised as anybody that they were throwing to him, because Howard basically has one play that he runs. It's the same play that he caught the long touchdown in the national championship game and once earlier that season. And other than that, O.J. Howard runs blocks. When O.J. Howard's on the field, there's a 75% chance the Bucs are running the ball. When Cameron Brate is on the field, there's an 80% chance the Bucs are throwing the ball. You choose. Atlanta on a bye. New Orleans on a bye. Arizona, a flop for Jaron Brown. I had said in previous podcast, below Fitzgerald, you know, I call backfield situations toxic. I think Arizona's anything beyond Fitzgerald wide receivers toxic. It's just too random who's going to get the targets and the touchdown, the red zone targets, the touchdowns. This was a bad game for everybody on the Cardinals. So maybe I shouldn't be so critical of Jaron Brown since everybody stunk. Rams, down game for Gurley. Hey, he'd given you a lot, especially the last few weeks. And this was further proof that if Gurley doesn't go, the Rams passing offense can't do it without him. Bad game for Sammy Watkins. Drop ball late in the end zone by Cooper Kupp. He continues to be the Rams leader in red zone targets. Seattle, let's talk about a DST here. We talk so much about Doug Baldwin's situation, Russell Wilson becoming one of the top four fantasy productive quarterbacks kind of quietly going into week five, and their toxic backfield situation. Seattle's DST, really good against a top offense in the Rams that had put up a lot of points. Seattle got, they got you some picks, they got you some fumbles, they held the score down. The only thing they didn't get was a touchdown, but this is what people drafted the Seahawks defense to do. And only thing I can give you from the 49ers, for those of you that were hoping Carlos Hyde could get through the game healthy, he didn't. Right now, this is a week-to-week thing. If you played Hyde, you paid for it. We expected Pierre Garçon to get a lot of targets in his matchup against the Colts. He did. He got 11. I think he caught 9 of them. It was a good game for Garçon. But still going forward, I don't know how much value he holds. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. 12 Tampa Bay locations. I popped in on Saturday night to the Hillsborough Avenue location where we held the first of our two fantasy football drafts back just before the season began. Things were jumping in that Hooters location for college football and the baseball playoffs. Hot wings, cold beer, summer seafood, even though it's fall. Hooters style. It's always summer in Hooters, isn't it? Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. Remember, email me any unique questions that I didn't cover in the podcast or as news develops as the week goes on. Our next podcast is scheduled to be posted on Friday of this week. I will likely record it. At some point on, well, I might record it on Thursday night early in that game, unless I go out and watch that game, and then I will record it on Friday morning. Email me any unique questions. You will get a response. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. And if you want one of the last spots in the golf tournament, Todd Wright Tour, XII, go to JoeBucksFan.com/golf, and you can see all the info for that tournament. You can email me for information on the tournament at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, and you can register and pay online, joebucksfan.com/golf. Talk to you next time.